So you're the Senior Director for Agency Policy for the Wilderness Society?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't you tell me a little bit about the Wilderness Society to start, just for people who don't know, just like a brief summary of the organization.
Sure. The Wilderness Society was founded in 1935, so we've been working for a really long time to protect America's wildest places on our public lands. And our mission is to protect wilderness, but also to inspire Americans to care for our wild places.
Okay. So the Wilderness Society's 2015 edition of Too Wild to Drill has been released. It identifies some of the places that should be off limits to energy development and calls on federal agencies to protect these lands for future generations. Can you talk about some of these places and how they were determined?
Sure. We focus on places where there are ongoing threats and a real need for people to be aware of them and to help to influence decision makers, be it public agencies, Congress, the White House, to know that people care about these places. We've identified the threats. We're trying to protect them, but we've chosen places that we think really speak to the challenges for our public land. So Colorado really features very strongly in the report. We do have a success story in Colorado in terms of how places like the Rhone Plateau are currently not being drilled, and we can work to protect it further, but also places like the Thompson Divide and the Grand Junction Field Office, where we have a lot of land at risk from either older leases or new leasing and development. So Colorado is really kind of the star of the report in terms of both some of the successes and a lot of the ongoing risk.
And then some of the other places, so there's Alaska, Utah, what are some of the other specific places?
Right, so not just Colorado, obviously. In Alaska, we've highlighted the National Wildlife Refuge there, which is an ongoing fight, despite the fact that there's no question of the value of this place and its wildness and the vital protections for species it provides. We have an ongoing battle, usually in Congress, to open this up to drilling. And this is a place where the administration and the White House really need to hear that kind of support. And then in Utah, we have proposed drilling around Desolation Canyon, which is an amazing place to experience rafting and hiking and remnants of our prehistory, as well as around the Bears Ears area, a place that a lot of tribal nations have been urging for protection. And then in Montana, Badger Two Medicine area is another place with a lot of important sacred spaces that is being threatened by older leases that really never should have been issued in the first place, a similarity with our Thompson Divide in Colorado.
What kind of value do these lands hold for energy development? And when we talk about value, let's talk about the value above the surface as well.
So most of these areas, I can't really speak with exact efficiency to Alaska because a lot of it is speculative. And that is true for most of these lands, that the oil and gas values are rather speculative, and most of them are not the highest value right now potential lands for drilling, whereas we know their values in other places. Right now, you know, we look at the fact that the oil and gas industry has 38 million acres under lease, only about 12 being developed. So it's not like we're in a rush and a crisis to lease more. We have extremely high production on public lands of both oil and gas right now. So there really isn't a lot of pressure to develop more, to drill more, whereas we know that if we go in and we blade roads and we drill and we have emissions and lights, we affect all of the lands and the species both on and around these areas. So places like Desolation Canyon, where you'd be going on a float trip and experiencing amazing views and wildlife and, you know, cultural resources, that would be ruined if you were looking at oil and gas wells and drilling and listening to the sound of engines as you floated down. So we see the value of most of these places as being higher for protection than for oil and gas. There is plenty of room for oil and gas. There is plenty of resources already under lease. And for these places, we think they clearly have a higher value to the communities, to wildlife, not being developed.
So ultimately, then, what do you hope is the outcome of this report? I mean, what will this report serve to do?
Well, of course, our dearest wish is that we take all of these places off the list next year, and they all go into the success story in the introduction, that we've been successful with getting the message out that these places are too wild to drill and all the decisions are made correctly. That's what we, you know, our biggest goal. At a minimum, you know, we want to keep raising awareness. Some of these places, and the Rhone Plateau is a great example, that was on our too wild to drill list for many years, and now it's in the success story column. So we hope to continue raising awareness of these places to get messages into the decision makers of how important they are and how much more important they are for uses other than oil and gas drilling.
How seriously do federal agencies take reports such as these? I mean, how do you even go about getting, you know what I mean? Like, what's the process? I'm curious about how you, make an impact with it, or how you reach them. I just like the general idea of how this will change their minds on something.
Right, I understand. Well, as I mentioned before, you know, we do these on a regular basis. So getting on the report is not great, and getting off the list or getting in the success column is something that, you know, we do talk with the agencies about, and I think they do understand the value of that. And so what we do is we share it with the agencies, and on our website, wilderness.org, you can see a lot more pictures of these places and sign a petition as well to protect these places. And then we also provide a lot of opportunities for public input for each and every one of these places, and highlight back to the fact that it's been on our Too Wild to Drill report and the success we've had thus far in protecting it, and how much farther we have to go. So it is, you know, an important splash, an important notoriety to be on the list or off the list, we think, and also provides us a way to keep following up in our various place-based campaigns, because we do need to be looking. We don't just release the report and then wait till next year. We release the report based on campaigns we're working on, and we keep working on them, both, you know, nationally and with this kind of communications effort, but also locally, following up in person and with local communities to get widespread support.
Okay, and that kind of touches on my next question, is what can people do? You mentioned signing a petition to protect these specific places. Do they just go to wilderness.org?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And if you look for too wild. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. And then I guess my only other question is, like, what are the arguments? I mean, I it's hard to imagine that anyone would argue against protecting these specific places. What do the oil and gas companies say?
I think that what we've heard before is sometimes, yes, places like Badger Two Medicine and Thompson Divide, the leases are invalid and they weren't issued correctly, but hey, we got them once, we should get them again. Or, you know, we should keeping our options open for more places to lease, more places to drill. I think they're very generalized arguments. They're not place specific that any of these places are, you know, critical for us, other than some of the very high flying rhetoric around the National Wildlife Refuge in Alaska. And there we do get a lot of overly dramatic statements about the importance of that resource. But again, when we're having, you know, extremely high production, both on public lands and off of public lands as a domestic producer, I think those arguments continue to ring hollow.
Okay. And you pronounce your first name Nada or Nada?
Nada. Nada.
Nada. I was wrong on both accounts. Okay. Well, thank you so much for talking with me this morning. I so appreciate it. And I just appreciate your time, and we'll play this on the news probably tomorrow night. So.
That's great. Thanks so much for having us. We work really hard to identify the right places and really identify places we think are extremely important, and having radio coverage is just great to get the message out.
Oh, especially in a place like Telluride, believe me. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, right. Thanks so much. Bye.
Thanks, bye.